North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson, and I'm here with Will Love on Friday, August the 1st of 2025.
Happy August.
Happy August to you. Here we are. July is now behind us. The summer continues to fly by.
Yeah, I got a question for you, Jack.
Okay.
Is it true that they call you the Michael Phelps of Lake Ponderay? Is that true?
Right. Yeah, that's my nickname.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Because that's the rumor on the street.
Right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, why I was going to ask. Okay. Uh-huh. So anyway, now that we understand that you're the Michael Phelps of Lake Monterey, what's the furthest distance you've swam intentionally?
Oh. What about unintentional?
Well, that's what we were going to get to fell off a boat or,
right.
You know.
I'm not sure. I was a swimmer in high school, and it would have been during a practice sometime. Uh-huh. One of the harder practices, I'm sure, would have. Now, that wouldn't be in a straight line. That'd be back and forth.
Right.
That would for sure be the furthest distance I've swum. I did an open water swim but I think it was only about a half mile once, and I have never, I've never been in the Long Bridge swim.
Okay, all right. Well,
that's
tomorrow.
Here we go.
Yeah, 1.76 miles.
I could do it, I guess.
I
could sign up. I'm hoping to go to the concert tomorrow night, and so I kind of want to save my energy for that.
Gotcha.
I'm not sure a 1.5+ mile swim is going to be in the cards tomorrow. Some year. I have really committed that I'm going to do it sometime.
Okay.
Just waiting for the right conditions.
Yeah.
Have you ever swum in it, Will?
No.
Okay.
But I have. I am a mile swim person. Like, I've got that. That's a, you know, one of my attributes that I put on my resumes and stuff like that.
You can swim a mile.
I mean, I don't know if I could right now, but I have. So,
okay.
Yeah. So.
All right. What's the furthest distance? Is that the furthest distance you've swum?
Yeah, for sure. Uh-huh. And that was I appreciate these people that swim 1.76 miles, because
mm-hmm.
1 mile was a long, long time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's not,
I think running a mile is bad enough, but yeah, swimming is,
It takes a while.
Also in the studio with us this morning is Jack Freeman. He's the staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Good morning, Jack. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. Happy to be back.
Are you swimming in the Long Bridge swim this weekend?
No, I am not. Famously bad swimmer.
Okay.
I'll pass on that one.
Well, you could, you know, it's a good opportunity to practice. A really, really long practice. We're gonna go into the headlines now, I suppose. It is now that we know that it's the Long Bridge swim this weekend, it's also the Festival at Sandpoint's closing weekend.
Also the rodeo. PRCA rodeo is happening this weekend.
This is rodeo weekend.
Yeah, yep,
okay.
Yep.
A very busy weekend here in town.
And it's also my 30th reunion from high school. So anyway, shout out to the class of 95.
Okay.
Yeah.
We
always knew we were going to be the best, and look what happened.
Did it actually get organized? I mean, is it, you're going to go, and does it seem like a lot of people are going to go? I'm just curious.
The organizing part probably could be a little bit better, but we're supposed to meet up at a certain time. So,
yeah. This would have been my 20th year high school graduation, but I didn't get a card.
Oh, no.
Perhaps it happened back in Minnesota, but I was not invited. It's okay. Anyway.
Well, you can come tonight.
Sure. All right, let's talk about the news a little bit, which is really why we're here. We're gonna do we're gonna start as we usually do in the broadest possible geographic area, and then work our way down to the local stuff. On the state and federal level, I suppose, local governments in Idaho will receive $42.9 million in federal payments to cover the lack of property taxes from federal lands. This is the PILT, payment in lieu of taxes. They will go to local jurisdictions that cannot tax the federal lands in their borders to cover the costs associated with maintaining community services. Let's see. It is, I don't know what Bonner County is getting exactly, but it's a somewhat complicated formula based on the population of the area, as well as the amount of federal land within the area that determines what will be paid out. But there will be some sort of federal money being distributed in our direction in the near future.
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
Because a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the freezing of education funds from the federal government.
Right.
And so that has also been opened up just last week. And so Idaho will receive nearly $27 million from this. And then also, we had talked about the after-school programs, and that money kind of the week beforehand was freed up so that there will be money for the after-school programs, including in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District.
Right. Let's see. more school district news, I guess. Might as well cover that topic while we're on it. The Lake Pend'Oreille and West Bonner County School Districts both saw major increases in the Spring Idaho Reading Indicator. This is a statewide test administered twice every school year to all kindergarten through third grade students who attend public schools in the state anyway. And this is the seventh year of the test. This year, results are up since over last year. Let's see. The Lake Pend'Oreille School District's overall reading comprehension in scores increased by 4.6%, meaning that now 79% of students in that K through 3 range are reading at grade level. In terms of kindergarten specifically, Lake Pend'Oreille School District ranked second in the state of kindergartners who can read at grade level, 92.7%. Of students hitting that grade level mark. Only 77% of kindergartners last year could read at grade level. So a big big increase there.
Yeah, I can attest to the emphasis that's been placed on reading over the last couple of years. I know Lisa McElroy, who's a district instructional coach, has kind of taken the lead on that. And so at all levels, not just at the younger levels, that's been a priority, and congratulations to the teachers and to the administrators that have made that a focus, because it apparently is going to be it's been paying off.
Update from our reporters in the field: 1.1 million, a little bit more than 1.1 million, is what's going to be coming our way, payment in lieu of taxes. The PILT funding is coming to Bonner County. Thank you, our reporter out there, sent that in. Let's see. Talk about a little bit about the fire district, particularly the Selkirk. What is it? It's called the Selkirk Fire Rescue and EMS that held a town hall on July 23rd, updating the public on their plans going forward, following the failure of the proposed levy in the May election. The county, some news at the county level. Where was I here? The little land use news at the county level on July 23rd. County commissioners voted 2-1 to approve an amendment to Bonner County Revised Code Title 12, removing recreational vehicle parks and campgrounds as a conditional use for rural agricultural /forestry and rural service center zoning districts, meaning you can't expect to see any RV parks going in outside of the basically outside of city limits, where they'll be they will then have access to sewer and other infrastructure. So that went 2-1. I think it was, Ron Korn's quote was that he does agree that these types of facilities should not be in ag forest area. He went further. I also believe that they should not be in rural zones. My argument back then and still is that there are rural zones along state corridors that would be a place where I think a campground or RV park would be a good fit for people traveling. That's Ron Korn speaking there, and he voted against the that measure, but it passed anyway. And now, you can't have a RV park or an RV park. New RV parks and campgrounds will not be approved in rural, agricultural, and forestry and rural service center zoning districts in the county. Moving on now to the city of Sandpoint. The city council, they voted unanimously to adopt the city budget's maximum budget setting at $49.9 million. The decision didn't adopt any specific budget items for the 2026 fiscal year, but rather sets the limit of what the city can spend and maintain a balanced budget. The council was unanimous, or voted 5-0. Councilor Joel Espiro was absent, and it passed without much discussion, writes Jack Freeman in the Bonner County Daily Bee. At the meeting, rather than discuss that, it sounds like the new city fee schedule was the dominant topic of conversation at the recent city council meeting. New and changing city fees will be presented to the public in an upcoming date, and I'll ask you about that in just a minute, Jack. Also, in the city of Sandpoint, we mentioned last week that the planning and zoning department has extended Averill Hospitality's permit for another year. They approved a year-long extension for Averill Hospitality's conditional use permit and zoning variance. This is for the hotel, now called the Edgewater or the Best Western, down by City Beach. And that the new owners of the property, Averill Hospitality, are planning a major development there. And all five of the attending commissioners of the Planning and Zoning Commission voted to approve the extension to the conditional use permit. I think that's probably a good place to kind of jump into our conversation here, because I think people are pretty curious about what's going to happen down at City Beach. What and when are things going to happen at City Beach? This is that hotel has been in the planning stages for a while. And I think people, every summer we think this is the summer they're going to break ground and the hotel's going to be closed. And in one way or another, I think that's, in my memory, that's been happening basically every summer for like the last 5 years, was that, this is the summer that the hotel won't be open, but every summer it's open again. And I think they are still taking reservations through the end of this month, if I'm not mistaken. Jack Freeman, tell us what's new, I guess, down at City Beach. What's the current schedule for construction, and what are they going to build?
Yeah. So I got to talk with somebody from Averill Hospitality a little bit later on in the week, and they told me that the target opening date has been moved from summer of 2027 to summer of 2028. They're still hoping to begin demolition in September, but that could also be as late as early winter this year. The this demolition starting is really dependent on them getting their building permits in and approved. Mm-hmm. At that Planning and Zoning Commission, which was incredibly short, there was a presentation from Bill Dean, who's the city planner of Sandpoint. He indicated that they are very close to submitting their building permits, but they have not been submitted as of that time. I haven't seen them be submitted yet. So all of that is really pending review. I think their timeline for demolition is soon, but it really depends on working with the city and overcoming some of the challenges that they face with the design.
The design, as I mean, people have seen it. It's been in the public, and that has been that's approved at this point. Is that right? It was a big. I know the parking was like the last big question, but I think their design. There's not going to be a debate about whether or not they can implement that design, assuming that they're able to follow all the kind of the city regulations. Is that correct? If they can meet all the standards?
I think that's correct. But Bill Dean also talked about it in his presentation that they had been reworking some of the designs. So I think that final rendering might be, you know, pretty close to what they're aiming for. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we're getting exactly that hotel at this point, because things have had to be changed and shifted around. I think that was released about a year ago now, and they've been still meeting with the city a lot over that time and maybe reshaping things. I haven't seen any new renderings or anything like that, but I don't know if that rendering is going to be the exact building that will be on City Beach.
Yeah.
That's a pretty popular spot for people to hang out for the public, and obviously, you know, it's part of the City Beach. So, like, what are some of the... we'll call them amenities that are going to be there, and how is that going to kind of affect the public that usually uses that spot for recreating?
Well, I think it's going to become a lot more packed if this comes through. I mean, they're looking to build just about 100 plus rooms in this resort that has a event space for 300 people, two restaurants. They want to be able to rent for hotel guests to rent things to go out in the water. Also put in their kind of own food service by the water. A lot of amenities. I know that they're also looking to kind of put in like a fitness center kind of a thing. I don't know what that exactly looks like, but they've made it clear that a lot of these amenities will be open to the public as well. I don't know exactly. That wasn't what I talked with Avro Hospitality about exactly. But I think that you can just expect a more jam-packed City Beach than what you already have, with maybe the ability to go to the gym or host events down there, or maybe rent equipment on a summer day kind of a thing from the hotel. I think that's kind of in the planning stages as well, and we'll know more, I think, once the hotel nears completion for some of those amenities. But I think overall, you can just expect that there will be more people by City Beach.
Mm-hmm. I think the last time we were talking about this on these airwaves was we were discussing the parking there. I think they're if I'm not mistaken, the lot that they intend to build does not have as many spaces as there are rooms in the hotel. So they're going to be paying the in-lieu fee to the city for some of those parking spaces. But as far as I'm aware, there's no plans to allow overnight parking at City Beach. So I don't know. Where are those? Do you know where the cars are going to go, Jack? And how this is going to affect not just, you know, how busy it is at City Beach, but the traffic and ingress and egress kind of. It's, everybody has to go down Bridge Street to get there.
I don't know exactly where the cars are going to go. I can tell you that Avro Hospitality has said that they don't feel it will be an issue. They're going to be offering a shuttle service from the airport and places around town to maybe cut down on some of the cars. That's their hope as well. I know that the mayor has said that they won't allow overnight parking at City Beach, and that he is not letting them take over the City Beach parking lot. Obviously, it hasn't been built yet, so I'm not, you know, I don't know exactly what that will look like. I think it's a very valid concern, though. You know, I think just personally for me, if I was if I had two cars in one spot, I'd try to find a spot close by, you know? But I just think right now we're still in that planning phase with everything, that to make any assumptions and say, oh, I know exactly that City Beach is going to be overrun would be incorrect. Yeah. We just don't know enough. We haven't even, like I said, I don't think we've even seen the final building yet. So there might be ways that they go around it. I think that both parties are, Avro Hospitality and the city, are aware of the issue and that people aren't happy with the current plan. But I don't know if that's going to change anything.
Well, let's see. Let's talk a little bit about the most recent city council meeting. You wrote that the maximum budget wasn't it was pretty uncontroversial. They passed that. That's just a matter of kind of doing the math, I imagine, and saying this is how much we can afford to spend.
Yeah, that was a lot of going over revenues. Mm-hmm. There was a city council meeting at the start of July where this was kind of a controversial topic because the some council members felt like they hadn't been given proper time to go over the budget. But over the past month, they've had a meeting almost every week to basically review with city staff, here's what's in the budget, here's how we're paying for it, everything like that. And so I think the council felt pretty okay with accepting that maximum. And then we'll talk about the city fees and all that, but that August 20th meeting is where they'll be able to actually move things around in the budget. So nothing was formally accepted except, you know, the city's going to bring in $49.9 million, so you can only spend $49.9 million.
Yeah. The final budget is determined. Will that be determined on August 20th?
I believe so.
That's the plan anyway.
I believe so. That's pretty close to when they need to.
They have to have it.
Right? Yeah, they legally have to have it. I think is that the date?
I think that's the 20th.
I believe that's the date. Yes, yeah. That they'll have everything accepted. I don't see a lot moving around in the budget, and so I think it should go over fairly smoothly. But you know, you never know when it gets down to those meetings.
Yeah. What they did discuss was new and changing city fees.
Can I ask Jack a question real quick? Because, and this might go into the fees part too, but can you talk a little bit about where the city stands with the spot bus and kind of where that's going? Because I know that that's been kind of a back and forth here for a little bit.
Yeah, so that was actually a part of the, when they were debating the max budget, Councillor Dick asked about spot. That was really the only question that was asked about it. They aren't, like I said, they aren't allowed to make any changes, but Mayor Grimm did say that he and city staff may have located a funding source, a recurring funding source. I believe it's from a city property. I'd have to go back and look at his exact quote. That's in the story. So if everybody could go read that, that would be great.
Well, I got it right here. It says there is revenue, not one time, because it is a multi-year lease from one of the city properties that could potentially fill that funding gap for spot.
That's right. So yeah, it's a lease. And so that's what they're looking at right now. That's kind of what they've targeted to get them to fill that $45,000 budget deficit. I see that as a priority for the council. Donna Griffin from who's the executive director of Spot Bus has been at every one of these budget meetings, really talking with these counselors to make sure that this Sandpoint service does not get cut. So I'm fairly optimistic that that will get done, and it might be that, it might be something else, but I don't see the council letting that budget deficit go.
Let's talk about the fees a little bit. What is in store for the residents of Sandpoint and I guess those who use the various services that the city provides?
Yeah, so the JER Center is completely redoing their fee schedule. They're ridding themselves of the daily play fee. So I guess currently you need to have a membership and also pay to play daily. That'll be over with. That's one of the things that new facility supervisor Ryan Wells has done a has done, I guess. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things that was priority number one when he took over, was to kind of look at their fees and redo it. And Jason Welker said, who's the holds several mm-hmm. Seats in the city, that they expect this to really jump their memberships and really bring in more people, because the people who were using the facility really were not fans of the daily play fee. Those fees will be about the same. In addition to that, for private groups who want to rent outdoor courts, there'll be a kind of new and more expensive price. Jason Welker said that that was kind of to encourage people to maybe use the JER Center and rent those courts instead. They'll still be free for the public, but for private groups, they kind of want to incentivize use of the JER Center.
Okay. Russell Center is the big, continues to be a big topic of conversation as they try to kind of make that building or pay for itself. Is there still their target, from what I understand? What else? Any other big changes to city fees?
Well, they there was more discussion on the parking passes. Uh-huh. Obviously, uh-huh. They set the fees that were presented were the maximum for the passes. They didn't present the hourly rates or anything like that, mm-hmm. because they said that those will kind of be in flux and they're still working on the technology on those things. But for the parking passes themselves, those prices that are in the article, I'm not going to go over them because there's like six mm-hmm. groups, depending on who you are and what you'll be paying. Uh-huh. But those are the maximum prices that the city staff says that the city should adopt for those passes. So it's just another step forward for that plan. There'll be another meeting to talk all about it. But if you'd like to, you know, get some feedback in on those parking passes, those maximum prices, there's a public hearing on August 20th for all the fees, but the parking passes included.
Okay.
Can you just discuss a little bit about what they're doing at War Memorial Field and that complex there in regard to changes on the pricing?
Yeah, so that's, you know, this was mainly for Lake Pend'Oreille School District. There was a lot of very complicated fees that, so when they would play a game, they would have to know how many students who are playing are from Sandpoint and how many are from
As a ticket taker, we always had to keep track of how many people came through the gate.
So they're changing the ticketing. Now the ticketing prices have to be basically just estimated beforehand, and they'll pay those fees when they rent the field instead of having to go back and, you know, go through all those tickets again and again. And there's different levels for that. And they're also doing away with the visiting team fee and just going to a game fee, which is just double practice. So if you rent the field for $25 and you want to rent the field to play a game, it's going to be $50 because there's going to be two teams. You can split those fees. That's kind of how the city feels is fair, and also will cut down on the city and time that it took for the 80s to report all those visiting team fees, to just kind of simplify everything.
Who, besides the festival and Lake Pend'Oreille School District, who else uses, does anyone rent out War Memorial Field? I can't think. I don't know.
Well, a lot of, junior tackle teams, the program will.
Okay.
Other
sports.
Yeah. Kind of
that when you get officially
into, right. I know lacrosse has a big tournament there, and they use it, and they're not affiliated with the school. So essentially, I guess it says here in your story, kind of nonprofit, and that would, I think, fall under like the clubs that might be using it for like lacrosse or youth programs.
Okay.
Strikers probably. Mm-hmm. Pays, when they use it.
Okay. So the other athletic clubs in town that aren't officially school, you know, part of the school programs. Okay.
Yeah.
Any other big major headlines on the on new or changing fees? Any other big changes?
I don't believe so. Those were kind of the most significant ones. There was a small increase to the shooting ranges price per visit. But that was just to bring the hourly wage for the range master up. to market rate, because I think he was only making like $12 an hour. So they brought it up to 17, and that fee will help pay for that. So those are really the big increases. There's a lot of increases when it comes to planning costs. Jason Welker talked about that a lot, but I don't think a lot of people would, you know, average people are applying for conditional use permits. So it doesn't really matter to most people, I don't think.
Yeah. And when did we talk about those? We did talk somewhat recently, I think, about the new, yeah, the new planning costs. So there we go. That's what's happening, I guess, at the city. And you mentioned August 20th, about 3 weeks from now is when we'll have the final budget passed. That'll include the new fee schedule and all the expenses for the next fiscal year, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Any meetings in between now and then? I mean, are people going to be talking about this, or is this pretty much, this ball is rolling at this point and it would be unusual to see it stop, do you think?
I think it's pretty set in stone currently. Yeah. The council has another meeting on August 6th, but I haven't seen the agenda, but I don't think any budget items will be on the agenda. Mm-hmm. They are, from my understanding, they're only legally allowed to make changes at that August 20th meeting. So maybe there'll be some talking behind the scenes and understanding the budget better. Mm-hmm. You know, talking about like that spot deficit and where they can get the money from so they can make a quick resolution and proposal to change those things. Mm-hmm. And I also think that a lot of the city council is very interested in what the public has to say. And before they make any changes, there's a public hearing on both the fees and the overall budget on August 20th. And so that could also impact maybe some of the changes that are made. But currently, I think they're pretty set in stone for what they have right now, and they're going to focus on some other issues before that budget meeting.
Okay. Well, here we are. It's 8:30 once again, and that that basically concludes our show, unless there's anything else urgent that we need to address. Our guest this morning was Jack Freeman, staff reporter for the Bonner County Daily Bee. Thanks for being here, Jack. I think I said Jack. That's my name too. And I don't know what's in next week's paper. What's the news going to be next week? Jack, give us a little taste. What are you working on?
That's a good question. I've been working on a lot of feature stuff, really getting to know the people around town, the businesses and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of very fun features coming your way. In addition to, I'll be probably following up about the North Boyer Road culvert and some of those more boring things like that. If you love budget stuff, obviously this is the budget time, so I'll be digging more into that, but also trying to do some very fun features along the way. So I'd say stay tuned for those to stay in tune with the community.
Yeah.
And then another aspect of your beat is education, and that's going to be happening here soon too.
Yeah. I thought once I graduated, I'd never have to worry about school starting, but here I am right back again. So it's coming up, and yeah, I'm looking forward to getting to know that beat as well.
Mm-hmm. The North Boyer closure is, doesn't affect a lot of people directly or, you know, right now, but I, especially as winter comes on and Schweitzer opens up, that's the main path of transit between Sandpoint and Schweitzer. So if they can't get that open in time for ski season, there could be, that's going to be a headache. It'll be interesting. And otherwise, it's just a major inconvenience for those folks who live out in that area. I guess we continue now with Otto's Eclectic Mix here on 88.5 KRFY. Will, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jack.
You are in here next week, but I am not.
Yeah, they're giving you a vacation.
Yes, I'm going to Minnesota. You'll be here in the great state of Idaho, and I don't know who is going to be sitting here where I'm sitting, but somebody will be.
All right.
Perfect. I don't know who's going to be sitting where Jack is sitting, but somebody will be.
Perfect.
I expect, and we'll talk about the news. Okay, here's Bruce Springsteen. Thanks for listening to North Idaho News of the Week. Back next week with more.